Welcome to our Psalms of History series. We're looking at Psalms that we can connect to different periods or events in the life of King David. What we're looking at are events related to 1 Samuel chapter 24. David has escaped King Saul. He's made his way down to En-Gedi, this desert oasis. He has a little bit of a break. Saul has been pursuing him day in and day out, but an advance by the Philistines into Israeli territory has warranted Saul abandoning his pursuit of David for a little while to deal with larger, more pressing issues. Not all of these psalms we can directly pinpoint to direct experiences. And yet I think some of them very likely could have been written, but they do give us insight into the heart of David and the midst of trial and struggle. In the midst of chapter 24, there's an interesting story that plays itself out where David is in the recesses of a cave and Saul has come in to relieve himself. David has a perfect opportunity to take Saul out. He doesn't. He holds back. Instead of killing Saul, he cuts off a hem of his garment. Saul leaves the cave, and then David is filled with remorse about what he's done. And so he goes out and he yells for Saul. And the exchange, I'd encourage you to go back and read 1 Samuel 24 and the things that David says to Saul. But one of the common threads of what David is appealing to Saul for mercy concerning is the slander. There had been people within Saul's ear, whether it was just the distressing spirits, lies from the pit of hell, or power plays within the camp there of Israel, within the command structure, seeing David's anointing, seeing David being the next king, men like Abner playing into potentially Saul's paranoia. Untruths had been said about David, slander. People had been saying falsehoods and stirring Saul up, telling him that David was his enemy. And these things weighed on David. Again, if you've ever had someone lie about you, man, that's rough. Like lies told about you. You know, it's one thing to make mistakes and have to be condemned by the truth. But it's another thing to be condemned by lies. It's hard to defend yourself, especially if you don't have proximity or you're not given the opportunity to retort or to mount your own defense. David's dealing with slander. And I think that there are two psalms that David very likely, although we can't say with any certainty, but possibly wrote during this particular season of his life there in En-Gedi. Psalms 120. It's a very small song. It's part of what's known as the Songs of Ascent that the children of Israel would sing as they made their way up to the temple during the various feasts. The psalm is titled A Plea for Relief from Bitter Foes. We do know historically that this psalm was probably included in the canon by King Hezekiah, might have even been written by King Hezekiah, but there are also scholars that attribute this as very possibly being written by David, but then included in the Psalms, in your Bible by Hezekiah. Either way, I think you'll get the implications, the relevancy of this. He starts out, he says, "In my distress, I cried to the Lord, and he heard me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue." Note David here, he can't defend himself. There's lies being told about him, slander, his reputation's being dragged through the mud. He's been separated from his wife, Michal. What things have been told her? Things that David had been doing, things he hadn't been doing. The propaganda play. And yet, in the middle of these things, he says, in my distress, I cried out to the Lord. And then he tells us what his cry was, acknowledging that the Lord heard him. He says, deliver my soul. From what? From lies, from lying lips, from a deceitful tongue. What shall be given to you? What shall be done to you, you false tongue? Sharp arrows of the warrior with coals of the broom tree. You know, lies, Satan is he's called the father of lies. Satan stands in direct opposition to truth. And he uses lies to tear people down, to hurt, to destroy. The false tongue, deceitful lips. There's an application that should be at least acknowledged. Don't lie. Lying is a characteristic not of the godly, but of the wicked. Don't resort to those things. Speak the truth. Speak the truth in love. There's the old story told by preachers throughout the centuries of the woman in the church that had spread a bunch of lies about the pastor that had caused his reputation irreparable harm within the community. And in the moment of contrition, she comes to the old preacher and she apologizes. She asks for his forgiveness, of which he obliges and apologizes. But he takes up a sheet of paper and he rips it into a bunch of pieces and he goes out and he throws it into the wind. And he acknowledges he's illustrating that, yes, I accept your apology, but damage has been done that not only you, the person that authored the lie, that you can't go and collect all of this, that's out there. How much truer that is in a society of social media, you know, where you have keyboard warriors that will get on and write anything. And even in the midst of the things that they write, what's online lives forever. I'm brought to mind what's happened real recently between President Trump and Elon Musk, where they get into a squabble and Elon goes on X and he says all these things makes all these accusations about Trump. And then the days pass and today he came back and publicly apologized and acknowledged that the things that he had written weren't true. And yet the damage was already done, ruined the trust between the two, eroded a reputation. Again, be careful what you say and make sure that the things that you say are truthful. Verse 5, woe is me that I dwell in Meshech. I don't know how to pronounce that. Meshek. That I dwell among the tents of Kedar. These were enemy territories, hostile environments, the land of enemies. My soul has dwelt too long with one who hates peace. For I am peace, but when I speak, they are for war. And it just kind of ends there. Like it's a real kind of a Debbie Downer type of a song where it's like, hey, there's these lies. Lord, deliver me. I know you hear me. But then there's the acknowledgement that even with the Lord's deliverance, there's still the lies will still be out there. They'll still be floating in the wind. Psalms 120, a reflection of David likely dealing with the lies that have been told about him. Another psalm I think that fits the season of David's life there in Engedi, dealing with the things that have been happening, is Psalms 140. Psalms 140 is a great example of what we call an imprecatory psalm, a declaration, an appeal to God to strike his enemies, to take vengeance on those that would cause him harm. The title, the heading, is A Prayer of Deliverance from Evil Men. It is attributed to the chief musician. It's a psalm of David. He says, deliver me, O Lord, from evil men. Again, you pick up the similar theme of Psalms 120, deliverance. Preserve me from violent men who plan evil things in their hearts. They continually gather together for war. They sharpen their tongues like a serpent. The poison of Asaps is under their lips. Again, I hope you know that there are really bad people in this world. There are evil people in this world. There are people in this world that do not have your best interest in mind, and in fact will take joy in your destruction, your demise, your defeat, your fall. They're evil people. Again, we need to realize, as we would read in Ephesians, that we need to put on daily armor because we are in a spiritual battle. Yes, against spirits and principalities, darkness forces, satanic influences. But Satan often uses people to inflict harm, to do evil against us. And David is acknowledging these things, and he's asking God to deliver him, to preserve him, He says, verse 4, keep me, O Lord, from the hand of the wicked. Preserve me from violent men. Again, kind of this repeating, this similar refrain, who have purposed to make my steps stumble. The proud have hidden a snare for me and cords. They have spread a net by the wayside. They have set traps for me. Again, the acknowledgement that there are people that are trying to trip him up, to lead him into poor decisions, knowing that those decisions would not yield good things in his life, but evil. I said to the Lord, you are my God. Hear the voice of my supplications, O Lord. O God, the Lord, the strength of my salvation. You have covered my head in the day of battle. Do not grant, O Lord, the desires of the wicked. Do not further his wicked scheme, lest they be exalted. Hey, defend me for your sake, for your righteous sake. As for the head of those who surround me, and this is where that imprecatory, hey, you're protecting me, for I'm right. They're seeking harm. They're seeking to take me out. They're laying traps for me. You're protecting me, but on their head, on the head of those who do surround me, let the evil of their lips cover them. Let burning coals fall upon them. Let them be cast into the fire, into deep pits, that they rise not up again. Let not a slanderer be established in the earth. Let evil hunt the violent men to overthrow him. Let their evil intent come back around on them. You defend me. You take vengeance. Again, no, David's not taking the responsibility upon himself. He's entrusting the Lord. Lord, you're in control. You're going to cover me. You're going to deliver me. But you're also going to take care of the enemies on my behalf. He closes out this psalm. He says, I know that the Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted and justice for the poor. Surely the righteous shall give thanks to your name. The upright shall dwell in your presence. I love that. Again, David coming back to his refuge ultimately not being in his circumstance, but being in a relationship that he enjoyed. You know, the one thing about relationship, a relationship with God, is that a relationship with God will go with you wherever you are. It's not always the case with human relationships, for we can be alone and we can get alienated. People can betray us. And yet with God, because of his omnipresence and his spirit, he's always with us. He's with us on the mountain. He's with us in the mire. And David constantly comes back to, no matter what, he can take refuge in this relationship with God that he always perpetually has with him at all times. What a wonderful, just a roundabout way of concluding this dealing with disappointment and slander and betrayal and lies, that I come back to you and your truth and your presence. Again, these psalms related to the experiences of David, likely in En-Gedi, there in the wilderness down near the Dead Sea, this desert oasis. All related to 1 Samuel chapter 24. I would encourage you to go check out our website, calvary316.tv/histories. And all of the psalms are listed there, connected to the Bible studies, the passages that we've been looking at. So once again, check out calvary316.tv/histories.